Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, December 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, scandal continues to roil the University of Minnesota football program and the Electoral College meets. U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar is celebrating the passage of a bill dealing with health insurance coverage for eating disorders. The DFL senator sponsored the newly signed law that was inspired by the death of a young Minnesota woman. Mike Moen has more.
The Anna Weston Act is designed to bring health insurance parity for residential treatment of eating disorders. Weston was a Chaska woman who struggled with anorexia and eventually took her own life in 2000. After being diagnosed, Weston's insurance company maintained she was ineligible for coverage until they certified her disease. A residential care facility in St. Paul is named in her honor. Klobuchar says this was an effort that was years in the making.
We finally have said that eating disorders like anorexia should be treated just like any other mental health disorder.
The bill bearing Weston's name was part of a larger legislative package signed by President Obama last week. Mike Moen, Minnesota Public Radio News.
University of Minnesota Gopher football coach Tracy Clays says he feared for his job at one point as his players and the university squared off over the fallout from a sexual assault investigation that started in September. Clays spoke for the first time Sunday as the team returned to practice a day after ending a walkout that threatened their trip to the Holiday Bowl. Tim Nelson has more.
The Gopher football squad and the University of Minnesota may be putting their differences behind them as the players prepare for a bowl game they threaten to boycott. But head football coach Tracy Clays remained the man in the middle this weekend. Following the team's practice late Sunday afternoon, Clays reiterated his support for the players and their boycott. He said he met with the team the day after the U suspended 10 players in connection with an alleged assault involving another student. He characterized himself as the player's sounding board and said he told them their season finale wasn't the only thing that may be in jeopardy as they weighed a walkout.
There's a good chance I would be fired.
But he said the players ultimately had to decide what to do.
I made sure to make sure that everybody knew what the possible fallouts could be, and we went through all those things. So it was not my decision to do that. It was the player's decision to do that, and I was there to make sure they were doing it for the right reasons and what they knew what the consequences could be.
Still, he publicly commended their decision, posting minutes after the boycott was announced on Thursday that he supported their, quote, efforts to make a better world.
I could have chose a better words on the thing.
On Sunday, Clay said the sentiment wasn't meant to deny harm may have been done, but that the players felt the U wasn't meting out discipline fairly.
I wanted to make sure it was in support of their cause, okay? And this due process thing.
He said he'd like to see the U improve how it handles disciplinary matters. Clays also promised to donate $50,000 to support victims of sexual assault and said he expected players would have more to say in coming days about their protest and why they dropped it. But even as football resumed, questions remain about the fallout stemming from a sexual encounter between a U student and a number of players after a game September 1st, an encounter she later reported as sexual assault. Prosecutors declined to press charges, and she later filed, then dropped, a request for a restraining order against five players. On Saturday, U President Eric Kaler acknowledged Clay's differences with the U's decision to take disciplinary action, even after criminal and civil matters had been resolved. But Kaler said he recognized a coach's competing demands of representing the U's authority and trying to build up his team.
And there are times in which those two demands put coaches in very difficult positions, and I think some of our coaches around this issue were in that very difficult position, and we'll talk about that with them and try to improve both their understanding and our understanding.
Clay said he wasn't worrying about his job on Sunday. He has 2 years left on his contract. And even as the team prepares for the Holiday Bowl, the attorney for the suspended players told the Minnesota Daily that he's already appealing the U's action and is contemplating lawsuits in the wake of the incident. The student paper also reported the father of one player, Antoine Winfield Jr., reasserted his son would leave the U if Kaler and athletic director Mark Coyle keep their jobs, and that he expected other players would also seek transfers. Attorney Lee Hutton told KSTP-TV that he may also seek to reinstate the suspended players to the team, potentially including the trip to San Diego for the bowl game on December 27th. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The last votes in the 2016 presidential race are being cast today. Members of the Electoral College are meeting in every state, and it will make Donald Trump's victory official. The 10 electors in Minnesota are legally bound to back Hillary Clinton, who won the state's popular vote, as has every Democratic presidential candidate for the last 40 years. Brian Baxt spoke with one elector, Betsy O'Berry, an accountant from Ramsey, about being an elector in a losing cause.
Every 4 years, people get reacquainted with the Electoral College role in the presidential election process. You're one of 10 people from Minnesota who has that role. And as a Democratic elector, I assume you'll be voting for Hillary Clinton?
Of course.
Many times these electors are people who've been involved in their party for quite some time. How did you become an elector?
It is usually party stalwarts who become electors. I ran at the 6th Congressional District's convention this spring to become our elector. And I had two opponents and was just honored and grateful to be selected.
So do you make a pitch to your fellow delegates to say, here's why I would be better casting this ballot that is pretty much bound to be cast a certain way?
You know, it really is a popularity contest, to be honest with you. You know, you just make a pitch that my pitch was simply that it would be a huge honor and a great thank you for work that I've done.
Is this something that you've done before or tried to do before?
No, I have never done this before and haven't tried before. Usually people do this one time in their life.
And are you looking forward to it?
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but my feelings are very bittersweet. You know, I had expected to be the presidential elector for the first woman president elected in the United States. And while I'll be casting my vote for Hillary Clinton, it's very sad that she will not be our president.
Was that part of the motivation of running this time, is that you thought that this was part of a bigger history-making event?
Absolutely. I wanted to be casting my electoral ballot for the first woman president elected in the United States. But yes, it's a sad moment to know that my candidate is not going to be the one that prevails.
Do you still believe in the Electoral College process?
You know, I've been asked that question several times, not surprisingly. And, you know, that is just part of our Constitution. It's part of the grand compromise to put things together for us. I think that I live in a house with a 16-year-old high school student who's very angry about the Electoral College because Hillary got more votes than Donald Trump. But you know, I kind of just live in the world that we live in. We have an electoral college now. I know that there are some proposals with the multi-state compact and other things to make some changes in that. But for now, I'm just going to live in the moment and be very honored to cast my ballot.
That's presidential elector Betsy O'Berry talking with our Brian Baxt. The Electoral College meets at noon today at state capitals around the country to cast their votes for president. And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.